We talked about the Elijah. Through the Elijah's journey to connect with God, how he ministers to the people, we are partaking of the journey of the spiritual walk that he was walking. By doing so, we are learning something. Today, we talked about Elijah's revival moment. 1 Kings chapter 19, we got a candid picture of a great man of God, Elijah, the prophet. The greatest prophet of the all until John the Baptist arrived. He was fearless and uncompromising, totally devoted to God of Israel, totally committed to proclaim the truth, about God to the people of his day, regardless of their reaction. He rebuked the kings to their face, unafraid of the consequences. And this is the man who, when the band of soldiers had come to capture him, spoke a word and fire came down from heaven and consumed them. This is the man who prayed, and for 3 years it did not rain. And then he prayed, then rains came. This is the man who raised the dead and who, by the power of God, once ran the horse, pulled the chariot. He ran fast. And speaking of chariot, this is the man who was so precious to God that he did not die. He was taken up into heaven in a chariot of fire in a whirlwind. And the day before the event, our text describes, Elijah was the man who courageously challenged the 400 prophet of Baal of Mount Carmel and won. But then, what has happened? In our text, we see Elijah driven by fear, running for his life, exhausted and depleted. We see Elijah who had given up, who had enough, who was sick and tired of all things, and who was ashamed of his sinfulness, his cowardice, his weak face, and he just wanted to die. He said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life. For I am not better than my fathers." What had happened to Elijah? How is that he had so quickly and so miserably fallen after his victory on Mount Carmel? He had a difficult and lonely life. He lived during the time in which practically the entire population of Israel had fallen into apostasy, which means that they are driven away from the worship of God. They had forsaken Yahweh, the God of Israel, and had turned to Baal, the idol. Elijah was the only prophet of Yahweh left in that town, in this country, who spoken up for God. All others had been killed or had defected by these Baal worshippers. Opposed to him were some 450 prophets of Baal. King Jezebel hated him. King Ahab despised him. They want him to dead. He spent his ministry in the wilderness without comfort or family or home and a friend. The people of the land reject him and ignore him. Imagine this. You spend all your life with the people preaching and teaching the good news and good things. But these people agree with you? Nothing. And reject you. And did not even care about your presence at all. It was truly a lonely way to live his life. Yet, none of this is a truly answer to the question, how could Elijah have so quickly and miserably fallen? The real answer is this. This is the way it is for all believers. Even strong believers and prophets like Elijah. True believers fall spiritually. Sometimes they flat on face. And they give it into the temptation, even though they try their best. They are so human beings, and they spiritually bottom out. They sin in ways that they never thought they would. Such was the case with Elijah. As he sat under the broom tree in the desert, This was a man who spiritually exhausted, beaten, and ashamed. He meant what he said. He had had enough. He just wanted to die. He did his best, but nothing is working the way he is supposed to be. Not even getting any single appreciation by anyone. He was lonesome. He found himself under the bush. But God knew it was not the time for him to die. God knew that God's ministry under him is not done yet. But God also knew that to do the work, Elijah needed to be renewed and revived and restored. But the way God restored him is very funny or somewhat peculiar. Elijah fell asleep under the broom tree. And our text tells us that suddenly there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, "Get up and eat." Then he looked in a hole and looked around. And he found the bread and wine right there, the water. And so he ate and drank. And then he went back to sleep again. And sometimes later, the angel appears once again. And then the angel said, "Get up and eat, because the journey is too heavy for you. The journey is too great for you." The angel of God knew that Elijah has a long, difficult journey to Mount Horeb. So Elijah needed to be revived and renewed. And that is why the angel said it once again to Elijah, "Get up and eat. You need to be refreshed because the journey is too great for you." Finally, our text tells us that Elijah got up and ate and drank. And when he went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Notice this word. He went in the strength of the food to the mountain of God. The nourishment from the very simple meal revived and strengthened him. Before he wanted to die, but after eating the simple meal, he had a strength to go 40 days through the wilderness. The simple meal revived him. It gave him new life. Perhaps someone in this place here can relate it to Elijah. Perhaps someone here who has a long striving to the faithful to Christ is feeling like Elijah. Spiritually exhausted, discouraged, empty, ashamed, and you felt nobody because you have fallen. You just wanted to give up. Why bother anymore, you may ask. Or you are afraid that God has even given up on you. Dear friend, God has not given on you. God was not done with Elijah, and God is not done with you also. God has chosen to revive us through the simple meal prepared for us in this morning. This simple is the Lord's Supper, right here. Simple bread and wine. In Methodist Church, we use grape juice, which is also the Christ's body and Christ's blood. We Methodists believe that the Lord's table is a means of grace shown God's love through Jesus Christ. According to the scripture, forgiveness is given through it. Jesus said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." These words, "given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins," show us that in this sacrament, forgiveness, life, and salvation are given us. For where there is a forgiveness, there are also life and salvation. In the Lord's Supper, God is the giver. We are meant to be the receivers. Biblically speaking, the Lord's Supper is a part of God's distribution system. through which he gives the forgiveness of sin that Christ won at the cross. The source of forgiveness is the cross, where Jesus, by death, completed, atoned for the sins of the world. The forgiveness won at the cross gets to all people through this delivering system God given to us. First of all, the preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, but also in baptism and the Lord's Supper. Christ's Supper we are highlighting and experiencing in this church in this morning is the simple meal through which God gives great things, forgiveness, and receiving and the revival from the Lord and a re-strengthening of our faith also. Just as God sent his messenger to Elijah with a message, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too great for you." So God does for us today too. He sent his messengers who every time the supper is offered. And we are being told, "Get up and eat. Your journey is too great for you. You need to be revived. You need to be renewed in order to take the journey you are about to take." The journey is too great for us. Life is not easy. It is tough. We know all about that. We need this revival. Only by God's grace can we make it. The good news for those of us who find that we have become spiritually exhausted and weak and discouraged is that God does not turn away from us because of our weakness, our failure. Rather, he comes to us with his simple meal and tell us, "Get up and eat." When we do, we are revived and given the strength we need for the journey, just as Elijah was. For it is written in our text, "He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God." Two meals revived the strength of Elijah. Imagine what happened to those people who would have this simple meals more than two times, just like you and I. To those who partake of this meal is in faith, believing that God does forgive and revive them there, God will revive them. Not necessarily immediately, but God will revive us and revive those people who partake in this simple meal gradually, sooner or later. For there is life in this meal, the life of Jesus Christ, and it is shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. So, get up and eat. Let us be revived by partaking this meal. Before Jesus died on a cross for us, Jesus took the bread and gave thanks to God, broke the bread, and gave to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you because I love you so much. Get up and eat. This simple meal will revive you, renew you, refreshing you to get into the journey just about you getting into." After supper was over, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks to God and gave to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood shed for you for many for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you drink it, remember me and remember that you are forgiven. Your failure will not hold you down. Your discouragement will not hold you down because of this simple meal you are just about to take and will revive you, renew you, restore you to partake the journey you just about to take. Come and eat."